Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Right now we're going to bring in Kevin Lynch from FanDuel Sports Network, talk Timberwolves. Kev, how you been?
I'm doing pretty well, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. You've got to be thrilled. The Australian Open getting set to start. You can stay up late. You can stay up all night and watch tennis from down under if you want.
No, I know. I love to do, I'm glad you brought that up because I love, you know, in mid-January when that tournament starts, it's blistering cold here in the tundra. Right. And so I get to look at a place where the sun is shining and it's 90 degrees and people are playing tennis, and I just think, man, I want to be there.
Yeah, and people are just sitting in the stands sweating. They always talk about the heat down under for the Australian Open. And it is one of those. I'd like to go to any of the Grand Slams, go to New York for the U.S. Open at the end of the year, Wimbledon, Paris, the French Open. I don't know if I have that long a flight in me. I don't know if you've ever been to the Far East or New Zealand or Australia. I don't know if I could do that. That time you and I were on a plane to the Great Alaska Shootout in Anchorage, I was kind of like, all right, I'm ready to get there. I've had enough. And that's only 6 hours to Anchorage. I just can't imagine being on a plane for 12, 14 hours or whatever it takes.
Yeah, you know the good thing about all these international flights and planes is you have – so if you like to watch movies, as you know, they have all these built-in TVs in the seat in front of you, so you can watch movies, you can read a book. So that's – it's just hard to – you know, you're a bigger guy like me, it's like hard to stretch your legs, and that's uncomfortable. But the suffering, to go – you know, so I've been to the U.S. – I was at the U.S. Open, Steve, in New York the first year that in 1990 when Pete Sampras won it. And then I was, I went to Wimbledon. So my whole goal is to get to all the Grand Slams. So I've been to the U.S. Open that summer and I went to Wimbledon in 2014. And so I got to get to the French in May. And then of course the Australian in January. So it's just a matter of time, my friend. I'm going to be at all four.
Yeah, that is a great goal in great venues. I don't know if I've ever asked you about this. What was it like at the All England Club? Because it's very exclusive. And, of course, just regular folk can go during Wimbledon. It had to be a phenomenal experience to be on the grounds.
You know, it was. It was amazing. And it's actually, like, before I made it there that summer, that was 10 years ago, I was told that you better get organized before you go because and have, you know, somehow a way to get tickets because it's actually one of the toughest sporting events to get tickets to because unlike the U.S. Open, the Australian Open, and the French, it's a smaller private club. So it's not like these huge, like you go to the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows. It's just an enormous facility and, you know, hundreds of thousands of people can get in there, but the Wimbledon is different than the other three because it's smaller venue. It doesn't hold as many people and it's a private club. So, but you can get tickets. You got a queue or wait in line. They call you got to get there like at 3 a.m. right outside the facility and you get in line and get in that way, but you can't get into the main courts that way. You can get on the grounds and watch tennis, but so anyways, when I went there, I was pretty organized and got a pass from Eric Buderak from Rochester, Minnesota. He was playing on the tour in doubles and I got connected to Eric and he got me a pass to get into like the main courts and so it was great. It was phenomenal. You get a chance to go to one of those tournaments, Steve, let me know because I'll go with you.
Yeah, I would love to check it out. Another one on my list, and that is to get to Augusta National for the Masters in the spring. And that's another notoriously tough ticket. And I've been on that online, and every year I kind of sign up and go, okay, maybe this is a year, and then I get the reject email and says, all right, buddy, maybe next year. And I know you can get tickets to get into the venue on the secondary market. I've got to get down there and see that, because it's one of those things, as I get older and I'm having a little bit more knee trouble and so on and so forth, I've heard it's a very hilly course and that it is a tough walk if you do have some mobility issues. So that's another one that I would love to get, you know, in a very exclusive club, et cetera, and, you know, hard to get on the grounds and hard to get tickets, but I'd love to check that out. So
would that be number one on your list? Would be to watch the Masters more so than like a Super Bowl or anything else? Would be the Masters.
Yeah, you know, I went to the Super Bowl when it was here, the Eagles and the Patriots at U.S. Bank Stadium, and here's the thing about the Super Bowl: it's a hassle to get in the building, is what I noticed. All the checkpoints, all the security, et cetera. And then when you get in there, it's in reality another football game. You know, there's a lot of timeouts, a lot of standing around. It was kind of cool to see him set up the halftime show for Justin Timberlake. I mean, it was good to be there, but it's still another. I think in this case, as you talked about going to one of the Grand Slams, about being in seeing the venue like Rod Laver Stadium down under, or going to center court at Wimbledon or Roland Garros and see him play on the clay, or Art Thrash Stadium at the U.S. Open. I think the venue that you've seen so many times on TV, where, you know, Super Bowls are played in stadiums you see all the time, and it's kind of like, it's like any other football stadium. So, yeah, the Masters would probably be number one. One of the Slams would be certainly in my top 10 for sure.
Yeah, you know, in the Australian Open, that's kind of considered with the players. That's kind of, they call it the fun slam. You know, it's like Australia, they do a great job of, you know, because you don't get a ton of sporting events. It's such a out of the ordinary place to go for top athletes. You know, you get so far for pretty much everybody to travel to get down to Australia. But once you get down there, Melbourne and the whole city and the whole country, everything shuts down for that tournament, and they put on a great show. So, I can't wait to get to that tournament, because it's just it's such a good time once you get down there in the summer weather. Yeah. And it's so, anyways, one of these days.
Kev, let's talk a little Timberwolves. They get the Grizzlies tonight at Target Center, and the Timberwolves have shown some signs in what's been a roller coaster ride of the year as they try and figure things out. The one change I wanted to get your thoughts on: Dante DiVincenzo has moved into the starting lineup, Mike Conley to the bench. Your thoughts on that move by Chris Finch and the Timberwolves?
Yeah, good move. Something had to happen. They were getting off to such poor starts to start games. They just, the whole thing last year with Towns, and you could say, you know, their offense, you know, wasn't great last year, but it was middle of the road. And people say, well, why isn't it working this year as opposed to last year? It's because Edwards was phenomenal last year, and Karl Anthony Towns was Edwards' equal last year. You had two really good offensive players, two of the best offensive players in the NBA, and because you have that, two guys that are that talented offensively could kind of help carry the other three starters and get off to better starts last year than they did this year. You know, Julius Randle is a good offensive player, but he's not Towns. And they just were two slow starters. They didn't have enough weapons to begin games. So it was either going to be you put DiVincenzo in there for Mike Conley, or you start thinking about putting somebody else in there for Jaden McDaniels with how he has struggled. So they decided to go get Conley to the bench, DiVincenzo more of a shooter scorer. more of a threat. So now I would assume moving forward, this is going to continue to work, Steve, because, you know, DiVincenzo is a good shooter. He's an aggressive guy. He can score. He has more variety to his offensive game than Conley does. I think that's really going to help. At the same time, it's going to hurt your bench. You're not going to have as much punch off the bench without DiVincenzo coming off it. But something had to happen. And Chris Finch, in my opinion, made a good choice.
Yeah, and with Mike Conley, he is the type of player, and his reputation is throughout his career, and now at this late stage of his career, that I would assume he's super comfortable with that role. He's still a calming influence and has been very important to this team turning the corner, not only a year ago, but I still think is a key cog in making this thing work.
Well, maybe that's kind of, we're at the point now, I think, in his career where, you know, he's, what, 37?
Yeah.
He's played, whatever, 17, 18 years or whatever it's been. And I would imagine he'll get to 20 years as long as he stays healthy. But those last few years are going to be backup point guard, you know, mentor to a young guy like Dillingham. And he's going to be, he's so mature and he's such a smart guy that, man, he's going to be great at that role. It was bound to happen, and I mean, we'll see how the rest of this season plays out. But if Finch keeps it like this, where Conley's coming off the bench, he's not going to cause any problems. He'll be just fine. So that's why I think this can work, and I think Finch is going to stay with this now.
Yeah, Timberwolves and Grizzlies, and the Grizz for really as long as I can remember. You know, they have put together in Memphis a really good run of competitive teams. They've had some really nice players. Once upon a time, Mike Conley played for the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. This is a good team coming in tonight.
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing Zach Edey, the big guy from Purdue, 7'4" guy. I'm really concerned about the NBA in one way, Steve, is teams are going so small and you're getting away from, you know, everybody wants to shoot threes. And you and I have talked about this many times, in my opinion, too many threes, and you're getting away too much of the big guys dominating inside because you just want to shoot threes all the time. And I'm glad Memphis took the big guy from Purdue, Edey, and he's gotten off to, you know, he's starting for him and he's playing pretty well. The numbers aren't great yet, but I hope he really develops into a good big man. And to watch him in college, then to see how he's starting his NBA career is encouraging. So, and then, you know, John Morant is doing his thing. Desmond Bain's a good player. Jared Jackson Jr. So they got weapons. So I'm not surprised they're, what, third or fourth in the West right now.
Well, Kev, always good to visit with you, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate
it. There he is, Kevin Lynch, FanDuel Sports Network, Timberwolves analyst on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Quick break. We'll come back a whole lot more, a bit on the terrible fires in the L.A. area. It's just unbelievable. We'll get into that in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.